Gracious Holy Spirit, who inspired those who wrote the scriptures, so inspire our hearts now that the written word on the page may be the living word in our hearts, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, thank you very much for your welcome and introduction. It's good to be here with you on this Sunday morning, and as has been said, I'm on my way, as it were, to Putno to take an ecumenical confirmation service there, and I look forward to that very much indeed. You won't be surprised to know that what you're getting this morning is a version of the sermon I'm going to preach over there. And if some of you are coming through, I'm very sorry about that. Well, I'm not sorry you're coming, but I'm sorry that you'll get the same thoughts again. The gospel reading, which we had some moments ago, you will recognise as being very much part and parcel of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And therefore, I'm taking that as the theme this morning, the idea of putting our faith and trust in Christ. Nothing will ever be the same again. He's in control of us, and therefore, we're going to walk on his road rather than ours. This gospel reading comes straight after that particular bit of scripture where Peter makes his great confession of faith. You remember what happens? Jesus asks, who are people saying that I am? And the disciples give various answers that the people are saying. And then Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter makes that great confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. A wonderful statement of faith, a wonderful commitment on his part, and straight away we have then the first part of our reading today, when Peter puts his foot in it. Straight after the wonderful confession of faith comes him trying to make Jesus change his mind about the course he's set on. And Peter is rebuked by Jesus, get behind me, Satan. And as a reminder that even in our greatest moments of faith, we're prone to putting our foot in it. And we are reminded that we constantly need the forgiveness of Almighty God. What this seems to be saying to me is simply this. We may have put our faith and trust in Christ, but then we need to live it out God's way. Peter made the mistake of arguing with Christ, arguing with Jesus. But the task of the Christian, to the best of our knowledge and ability, is to line ourselves up with the will of Almighty God. That's what we mean when we say in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done. We line ourselves with the will of Almighty God, not arguing with him about what that might be. So the rest of the gospel reading then goes on to spell out what Jesus entails, and that's what I want to look at now. There are three things that I want to say about following Jesus, and they're these. It's going his way joyfully, it's spending your life wisely, and it's being proud of him publicly. Let's look at each of those in turn. Going his way joyfully. I've got verse numbers in my notes, that's the trouble. And your sheet doesn't have the verse numbers on, so I'm lost. Verse 34 said, he called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wants to become my followers, let him deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. At first sight, this teaching about denying yourself seems to be about wearing a hair shirt, having lots of cold baths, no boxes of chocolates, denying any pleasure at all. Deny yourself implies that. And yet, I don't think it's what Jesus means. After all, he makes it clear elsewhere that the good things in life which God has given us are there for us to enjoy and to benefit from. We should receive them gratefully and use them wisely. He himself, after all, went to parties, took invitations out to dinner, and so on. No, this is more about attitude. This is more about priorities. Where our attitudes to those things lie and where our priorities are. Then there's this business about taking up your cross. You hear people say, oh, that's just a cross I have to bear, when they mean some particular difficulty or some problem that they've got. And I don't think it means that either here. I think it means rather that living a life pleasing to God may have difficulties along the way, because it's not a life of selfishness and self-indulgence. It's not a matter of being cut off from the good things of life, but it is a matter of living life God's way, so that there are, from time to time, things which we may have to put on one side. It's a life lived for him, and it's a life lived for other people. We may have to take up a cross, but the outcome will be worth every bit of it. After all, there's no resurrection without going the way of the cross. So we go Christ's way joyfully, even if that may mean some sacrifices. That's the first thing. The second thing that it seems to me this passage is saying is spending your life wisely. You've only got one life to lead for God. Make the best of it. Make the most of it. Some people think that God is out to spoil their lives. That if you follow him, he'll make impossible demands. That he'll make life grey and miserable. Yet my experience, and the experience of most Christian people, I think, is that it's just the reverse. It's as you put your hands into the hand of God and let him lead you through life that our life is enhanced. Yes, sometimes the choices are difficult. Yes, sometimes the rewards for going that path seem far away. And yet, to follow God's way, in the end, will be the most satisfying it can possibly be. Again, let me remind you what Jesus says here. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Seems to me what that means is that if you're trying to make a satisfying life without any reference to God, then you're not likely to succeed. If you put money, or career, or qualifications, or position in society as the main goals of your life, then you may succeed in getting them, but you'll miss out on what life's really about. It's a paradox, isn't it, that if you make life revolve round you, then it doesn't satisfy. But conversely, if you put God at the centre of your life and allow him to set the priorities for it, then it's as fulfilling as it can be. That's what Jesus is saying here. It isn't about what you can get, he's saying, it's about what you can give. It's no good ruling the world if you lose your very self. Someone once asked an ambitious student how he was getting on and what his ambition was. And he said, well, my ambition is to get a first so that I can get the best possible job in my career later. And the person who was talking to him said, and then? And he said, well, I would like to think that I shall meet a lovely girl, and we shall settle down and get married. And then? Well, it'd be nice to have a family. And I'd like to think that my children will grow up and be a credit to me, and in their turn, do well in life. And then? Well, I'm hoping to save up for a very good retirement. I've got one of these gold-plated pensions. There's not a problem over that. I'm going to look forward to retirement and enjoy myself and have a relaxing time. And then? Well, I suppose one day I shall die. And then? There's another aspect of life that he hadn't thought about. Living with and living for God here and now and for his future. Jesus is inviting you and me to something much more exciting and much more fulfilling than we can plan for ourselves. And that's the difficult lesson the world doesn't learn. God knows what's best for each of us. God knows what's in our future. God knows that if we trust him, he will lead us through to our future. Can I use a railway analogy? It's as if God is laying a track ahead of us. And the point about a track is that it keeps you at the wheels on the line and keeps the wheels in the right direction. It's as if God is laying a track ahead of us. Our part is to get onto that track and to follow where God leads. The problem is a lot of us try to build tracks for ourselves which don't go the best route through the mountains and the valleys and the pitfalls along the way. We have a choice. We can either follow the track God has for us with an eternal destination, or we can make it up for ourselves, spending your life wisely. Then the third thing is being proud of him gratefully. There are times when pride is not a sin, and this is one of them. The last verse of our reading said this: "Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." We have no reason to be ashamed of our Lord. But if you're a reticent British person, you may find yourself being unwilling to admit the fact of your faith and your trust in Christ in front of people outside of the church fellowship. And we need to overcome this. God has done so much for us. God is going to do so much for us in the future. We should want other people to share in his grace. Having a faith in God is nothing to be ashamed of, but something that should give you a quiet confidence. May God give us his courage to be proud of him, in the right sense of that word, proud of him with a sense of gratitude for all that he's done. So there are the three things: going his way joyfully, spending your life wisely, and being proud of him gratefully. When we come to the confirmation at Putno Heights shortly, I shall say a little about what confirmation is about. And the prayer which Neil and I will pray for those confirmation candidates says this: "Confirm, O Lord, this your servant with your Holy Spirit." And I always say at confirmations now that it's actually not just a prayer for the candidates, it can be a prayer for every day, for every Christian. What a difference it would make to all our lives if we woke up every morning and said, "Go on confirming this your servant with your Holy Spirit. Go on confirming me this day with your Holy Spirit, that I might live my life on your track, going your way, with your blessing." So live every day with the help of God, and may God bless each one of us richly in our lives for him. Amen.